Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even onto the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing. Sing to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the voice of song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout with joy before the King, the Lord. Let the sea make a noise and all that is in it. The lands and those who dwell therein, let the rivers clap their hands. And let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord when he comes to judge the earth. In righteousness shall he judge the world, and the peoples with equity.
A reading from 1 John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The word of the Lord.
Praise him with a new song. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our reading from 1 John this morning, the writer says to us, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world." And in our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love." And he goes on to say, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." We are to love one another as Jesus loved us. So how do we go about doing that? Is Jesus called to us to simply to be nice one another, to one another? Is he saying that to love one another is to say cordial things and to be meek and mild? Do you think the message for us is to act all syrupy sweet all the time, gushing all over each other? Well, certainly not. No, there's much more to love than that. Jesus wants more for us than that. And Jesus expects more of us than just simple platitudes. We begin to see what Jesus means by love when we read a little further in the text. He says, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus is telling his disciples that he will even give his very life for them. And he gave his life for you and for me as well. But is he really asking us to be willing to give our lives in order to love? Does Jesus expect us to be willing to die? He's using himself as an example of how we are to love, but surely he doesn't expect us to be willing to lay down our lives, does he? Well, no, I don't believe that Jesus expects us to be willing to die, at least not in the literal sense. But in order to be able to love as Jesus loves us, we do have to be willing to begin to die to self. We need to learn to attempt to put aside our own selfish interests to make ourselves open and vulnerable. But vulnerability frightens us. When we allow ourselves to become truly vulnerable, we're afraid that we might get hurt, that our emotions may get trampled, that we might not be heard, that others may take advantage of us. But at the same time, each of us can think of some instances in our lives when we dared to really open ourselves to others. And in those rare moments, we have discovered true relationship because both parties cast aside fear and dared to try to reveal themselves and to understand the other. We have dared to care openly. We have dared to try to understand. Those are the times when we have most fully obeyed Jesus' commandments. Real love is a giving of self in such a way that others feel valued and they can also begin to overcome their fears. Love as Jesus modeled it is allowing ourselves to take the risk of vulnerability, of dying to self in order to enter into relationship more fully with others. All of our relationships may be deeper and more fulfilling when we are open enough to care first about the other. I would imagine that most of you have had instances in your lives where this dying to self has had the power to enhance your personal relationships. But how about out in the real world? How about when there are real differences and real problems? A number of years ago, quite a few years ago now, at the middle school that our daughter Brooke attended when we lived in Anderson, South Carolina, an event happened that very few people outside of the school were ever aware of. It seems that early in the week, someone wore a bandana of the Confederate battle flag to school. As we've become even more poignantly aware of late, that flag is viewed as a symbol of racism and hate to many. So some of the African-American students were angry. And in response, some of them posted a big X for Malcolm X on a wall of the school. The following day, someone put a painting of a large Confederate flag on the wall of the boys' restroom. And underneath it was the caption, "This is the real X. Get used to it." That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Racial tensions were at a boiling point. Everyone was angry. No one knew what to do about the situation. And it seemed as if things would explode at any moment. Many were afraid that it really could escalate into violence. The teachers and the administrators attempted to keep everything operating as normally as possible without calling attention to all that was going on. They were patrolling the halls, trying to anticipate trouble. Everyone was frightened and at the same time frustrated. A number of students, and I'm pleased to say several of them were members of the church that I served, attempted to convince one of the teachers to help them convene an open forum where everyone could talk about what was going on and what they were feeling, instead of just pretending the problems did not exist. But they were told it wouldn't work, that it might make matters worse, and they wouldn't risk it. The students insisted that they only wanted to be able to talk and to air what they were feeling. But the teacher said she would not allow it. However, rather than give up, since the principal was away from the campus that day, the students took their concerns to the assistant principal. And to their surprise, he thought about it for a moment and said, "What a great idea. Let's try it. Let's do it right now." So they announced a meeting of all the eighth grade classes involved in the conflict. Everyone in those classes was offered the opportunity to attend the meeting. The teachers and the administrators allowed the students to conduct the meeting themselves without interference. White students and black students began to express how the events of the preceding couple of days had made them feel. Young people on both sides expressed frustration and pain that they had felt. And before long, they were actually beginning to hear and to understand one another. Very surprisingly, the individuals that had exhibited the original symbols that caused the problems identified themselves and apologized to the others. They all continued to talk, and some of them cried. Some of them hugged and forgave each other. They were drawing closer to each other in ways that just a little earlier would not have seemed even possible. People began standing up and apologizing for other things that they had said or done that may have been hurtful. These students opened themselves up and were really hearing one another for the first time. The meeting lasted for a couple of class periods, and when it was over, they went to lunch. And everyone else in the school could sense that something remarkable had taken place. Students who usually sat apart in the cafeteria were sitting together and talking. The problems that had driven them apart were now drawing them together. These students, black and white, had dared to allow themselves to become vulnerable. They had died to themselves just a little bit. And some of them reached out with the love of Jesus Christ. These young people risked greatly. but they found by being genuinely open, they had grown to have a greater understanding of each other. The events of that day did not wipe out all racial tension and prejudice from that school forever. But by daring to reach out with real love and compassion and risking becoming vulnerable, those young people had drawn together in love. What happened that day did not change the world, but it did change forever the lives of a group of young people who overcame their fear and found that indeed, daring to be vulnerable and to love others enough to try to understand them can make a difference. In our personal relationships, in the workplace, at our schools, at church, in our families, wherever there are people interacting, it is natural for us to be frightened of allowing ourselves to become vulnerable. Only when we lay down our lives, only when we die to self, can we love as Jesus loves us. Jesus said, "Abide in my love." To abide is to live, to dwell, to surround ourselves constantly and recognize forever, forever, that me and you are the beloved of Christ. Only when we accept the love of Christ, who first loves us, can we find the courage to cast aside our fear and genuinely love others in his name. As our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, often says, if it ain't about love, it ain't about God. That is the desire for Jesus for us this day. For he said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Amen. Now let us stand and affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for the world.
Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you.
Let your name be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. Give to the departed eternal rest. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Lord, hear the prayers of your people, and what we have asked faithfully, grant that we may obtain effectually to the glory of your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us read together prayer of the thanksgiving for baptism. God of grace and glory, you formed us in your image and mercifully restored us in Jesus Christ. In baptism, we were buried with Christ and rose to new life in him. Renew us in your Holy Spirit, that we may grow as members of Christ and temples of the Holy Spirit. Strengthen our union with all of Christ's body. May we, whom you have counted worthy, nurture this gift of your indwelling Spirit with a lively faith and worship you with holy living through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
God's peace. Please be seated. It is so good to see all of you here this morning, to be with you. And I'm happy to say that Father Robert is not here, but he's right there. He's in that camera somewhere. Where is that? There's the camera. He's operating the camera from home, but he's taking a Sunday to relax and have a little respite, which he definitely needs. This pandemic has been long, and he has been here every Sunday, so we're glad that he's getting a bit of rest, and I'm happy to be here. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers this morning, and to even those of you who may not be mothers, but have been motherly to others and have been there for others as they have needed them. We give thanks for all of you, and we hope that you have a blessed Mother's Day. Celebrating birthdays this week. If I find it, just a second. Last week, we remembered Donnie Clement, Zach Huddleston, Dick Goodman, Sam Holliday, Ann Scott Clement, Don Clement, Lisa Traynor, Quinn Scarvey, John Latimer, Mary Jane Romer, and Kathy Gregg. Birthdays this week, we remember Susan Klutz, Thomas Romer, and Stanelli Collins. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice unto God. things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own hath we given thee. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night before he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he'd given thanks to you, he broke it and said to his disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
For it all. now the peace of God which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.